Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
You cannot imagine what it feels like to look at your baby paralyzed from the waist down, shackled. Shackled. Where was my son going? They already put him in the bed. What was the shackle for?
That's Jacob Blake's father talking about his son, who, of course, was shot a couple of weeks ago in Kenosha, Wisconsin, which now has become a hotbed for controversy. The president headed there on Tuesday, and the man who wants to be president taking a swing at President Trump, and he swings back. It's going to be interesting to watch those debates and, of course, this trip to Kenosha, Wisconsin. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, welcome to the show. If you're here for the first time, thanks for stopping by. And the way we roll here is it's about your opinion. You can always flip them to me. Was this the smart thing to do for the president, to head to Wisconsin or not? Maybe it's one of those, let's wait and see what happens. He says he's going there for love and respect for our country and to celebrate and to talk to the police and responders, helping to curb and clean after the way he described it, the recent violent protests that have gripped the city, and especially the last couple of days, and also to increase enthusiasm and, again, respect for our country. He also said that coming with him, he will be joined by a couple of different people, including, and before leaving, he met with Attorney General Bill Barr and Acting Homeland Security Secretary Chad Wolf to talk about what was happening in this Wisconsin city. And he accused Joe Biden, his opponent, of course, for the spot at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue of encouraging violence in several American cities that have seen protests against racial injustice and police brutality. Trump claims that Biden, the former vice president, had given moral aid and comfort to the vandals. He said that both Attorney General Bill Barr and the acting Homeland Security Secretary Chad Wolf, both of their operations, are announcing that they're going to investigate a joint investigation, the what he called violent left-wing civil unrest, but he didn't elaborate, the president didn't, on how that operation would work. While that's going on, the president suggested that the Illinois kid, Kyle Rittenhouse, who is 17, who was arrested in the shootings of two people during the protest in Kenosha, Wisconsin, had acted in self-defense. He said, I guess he was in very big trouble. He probably would have been killed. And then he said, of course, the two deaths, it's under investigation. So Tuesday, once again, presents an interesting, I think, an interesting moment for the president and also for his opponent. Joe Biden, he goes back and forth with the president on Twitter, but he says that the president is a toxic presence who is encouraging violence in America, and he says that's exactly what is happening with the Kenosha, Wisconsin situation. And Biden traveled to Pittsburgh and was trying to be, it seemed like, from what I read of the transcript, a centrist in his position, and he condemned the destruction in the streets and the president for creating a culture that he says, again, has exacerbated it. And, of course, this is one of the crucial areas of the campaign, Pennsylvania. You know, the swing states are still huge and in play for the president and, of course, for his opponent, Joe Biden. Biden said, I want a safe America, safe from COVID, safe from crime and looting, safe from racially motivated violence, safe from bad cops, and let me be crystal clear, safe from four more years of Donald Trump. So we're going to hear a lot of this, of course, in the next 60-plus days. That's how close this election is. Can you believe it? How did we get here? Well, time keeps on moving, even through a pandemic. So speaking of the pandemic, where we are at this point, 183 people that are dead in the United States. That's the official total anyway. 6.3 million cases worldwide, 848,000 deaths, and total cases 25.3 million. What's now become, I think, pretty clear is a lot of what's happening on college campuses is affecting what's going on in the battle to decrease huge crowds and have too many people gathered and not social distance and not wearing masks and the smaller groups not as much spread, at least from all the reporting that's out there. And now there is this conversation in college football, and it's more than a conversation, that there's going to be one big football game where 25,000 fans will be on hand for the game on September 12th. And is this safe? Should this give anyone pause? And there is a tug of war over whether that's the right thing to do or not. But what they're saying, I say that the college officials, is they're going to make sure that they've got a system in place. They're going to make sure that there's social distancing. They're going to make sure that everybody has a mask on or they can't come into the stadium. And I think this is a very big test, if you will, as to whether or not there'll be more football games where you'll have more people gathered, because right now there are so many schools that are saying they won't play, they want to play, and they're going to play, they're moving forward, but they're not going to play in front of huge crowds. So this is a very, very big, big test, and I think a lot of people will be watching that as well to decide whether or not if they're going to be able to open up their stadiums and have students and fans, and, you know, students and fans mean former alums and people that live in the area, come back and watch college football. And this, of course, will also maybe affect what happens in the NFL. It's worth noting here right at the top, because of the significance of the crowds. Also worth noting at the top is the weather systems that during season that could be one of the worst that we've seen through Marco, which petered out, and then Laura, which had massive destruction, especially to Orange, Texas, and to Lake Charles, Louisiana, where it doesn't even look the same whatsoever. Now in the peak of the hurricane season, forecasters are watching four other tropical developments, they say, this week. And of course, September is the ultimate peak month of hurricane season, if you're paying attention to that. And on average, some of the worst storms come in at the tail end of August and in the very first couple of weeks in September. So from the National Weather, or from the National Hurricane Center more specifically, there is a chance of a couple of tropical depressions developing into hurricanes. Stay tuned. We'll know more on that later in the week. Right now, it's not a definite threat, but it just looks like there's some systems that are developing. Wow. All right, it's all about the numbers. We can count coming up on the flip side.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our made in the USA, microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part? Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
Are you ready for what's next? It's likely coming. More food shortages, power outages, grocery stores closed, social unrest. Ask yourself, do you have enough food and supplies on hand to last at least 30 days? Most Americans do not. But you can. Avoid the panic of the last-minute rush. Order your 4-week supply of emergency food today from MyPatriotSupply.com. Starvation or dependency on the government are your only alternatives. Avoid those and the pain of being unprepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. Build your emergency food supply with meals that last up to 25 years in storage, shipped discreetly to your door. Folks that know what's coming are using today to prepare. There's time for you to do the same. That's MyPatriotSupply.com, the original Patriot Preparedness Company. MyPatriotSupply.com.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
GreatSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea helps regenerate new cells. Everything from the cells in our skin to the cells in our organs so they function properly. Great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a disease. A 1-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit GreatSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
Some numbers, and we're also going to look at what I like to call odds and ends and try to throw in a mic drop moment as well here. Woo, can we get it all done? But first, let's go to David in San Francisco. Hey, David, how are you?
Oh, hi, Kate. Yeah, hope things are going easy with you. We're still getting smoked out every morning in San Francisco.
Boy, yeah, no kidding. How is that going? Because I heard some of it was contained, but again, it's awful. It's in some of the same areas that we've seen in the last couple of years, the fires.
Yeah, and, you know, I don't know if you're a fan of Jack Nicholson, but he did a movie, God, it's probably 40 years ago, called Chinatown, and it was about water theft in California. And so basically for 100 years they've been stealing water from the mountains to send it down to L.A. or send it to the, you know, grow cotton in the Central Valley or whatever. And so the mountains basically have become just tinderboxes. And global warming has created the situation where everything melts almost as soon as it lands. couple of years ago, we had all the snowpack was melted by the end of January. And those farmers need that water, you know, into April or May or June. And if it's all melted by January, then there's just, you know, it's a tinderbox everywhere.
Wow.
So,
wow.
You know, that's the basis of it. Hey, the reason I called, I don't know if you noticed, you know, Trump was talking about doing what he was calling the payroll tax, but it's really the way that Social Security is getting funded. And so today is the first day that Social Security is getting starved. And he's calling it they're going to have to pay it back at the end of the year. But if a whole bunch of companies go bankrupt by the end of the year, it's just going to be starved. And so, you know, this whole notion that we can just, you know, steal employees' pensions and think that we're going to have a future, that's one ugly business.
I agree with you. You know, it's interesting because you said it. What happens if you're stuck at the end of this? And of course, that's the big concern, especially. And then I think, David, what you're talking about, especially, is to those government employees, and the government employees are not excited about that at all because of the reason of the uncertainty, of course. And we'll see. I mean, I feel like every time I'm on the air, I'm saying, we'll see what happens. but it's true. I mean, I have no crystal ball that can tell me that. And I have friends that work for the government, and I know they're upset about it, and for the reason you said.
Well, it's not just government employees either. It's everybody. And, you know, one of the things in the very beginning, you know, there was a lot of distrust of the Federal Reserve. And I got the impression, you know, the Federal Reserve was from, what, 1914 or so, and the Social Security was from, like, 1932 or 3. And I got the impression that the Social Security Trust Fund was basically to buy bonds in all of the local towns and communities across America. So a sewer bond issue or a school bond issue and all of these great things that help make each town strong and a good place to thrive. And the idea of starving Social Security means that those bond issues won't be funded. And so, and when you start looking at the idea of we're basically in a hyperinflation right now, where all of the, you know, the stock market guys are looking for their quick returns, and so they don't want to deal in bonds because bonds only pay out 1% when these guys are looking for 15%. And so, you know, the bonds are being starved, and so the sewer bond issues are not getting built, the schools, all of the infrastructure. So it's a terrible way to go. We've got to reinvest in America.
You got to reinvest in America. That should be a bumper sticker. Reinvest in America by also knowing, David, thanks for that, by looking at what your local issues are, to his point, and the bond issues in your neighborhood. So often, so much money is spent getting people to pay attention to that because they're not even aware, because you're not aware. You're not aware of what that means to you, and there can be a significant amount of things that are affected in individual counties. And I know because I pay attention to those bond issues, trust me. And so he touched on something that I think is important for everyone to take note of. All right, to me, this is the mic drop moment. I'm going to call it of the day. So what is the mic drop moment? I brushed over it at the top. Iowa State University is going to allow 25,000 at their season opener. What? 25,000 in the stadium to watch the first home game of the college football season. So they're either going to look like geniuses or idiots if this causes a spread. The Cyclones are going to face the University of Louisiana at Lafayette on September 12th. So it's interesting. So you got Iowa State saying that's what's going to happen for their first one, and fans need to wear face coverings once they get out of their cars. No tailgating is going to be allowed in the parking lot, and they're what they're talking about, the Cyclone Club, is giving levels and priority points to people within certain price ranges, so they'll have improved social distancing. That's according to the Iowa State Director of Athletics, who wrote that in a letter to fans. So they put out a seating chart for the game, and it shows the gaps in the social distancing. And we'll see. Like I said, it is the mic drop moment, no question, because either they're... there it went. Because either they're going to look like geniuses and they're just going for it, or they're going to look like idiots. That's the truth. Because what if people walk away and they spread this thing all over the place? You know what the key is going to be is how do you police that? So people with masks, I mean, they could do that at the beginning, you know, at the gates. People come in, they have to have a mask on, and they just have to have a lot of people paying attention to what's happening at that game. That's it. And, of course, Iowa is one of the 10 states with rising cases of new coronavirus infections, so that makes it even more dicier. At first I was like horrified when I saw that. And listen, I'm a fan of the great game of football. I've made a living on sports, and I argue that sports gives people a break from other nonsense that ails them, and I get lots of blowback for that. But I'm not anti trying to do it. I'm just worried that is this the right time? And again, what kind of decision would I make if I had to make that decision? Would I have made that same decision? I can't say that I would have. And they're losing a ton of money. They want to get fans back, and it makes sense to me in other ways, but at what cost? So it could be a brilliant move, or it could really backfire. I'm voting and cheering them on that it's a brilliant move, that it's brilliant, and it's not the other way around. All right, one another shocker. I don't know if this is a shocker or not, because we've been hearing that this is going to happen, but Amazon, yes, Jeff Bezos, he controls the world. He does. And he's one of the richest men in the world. We know that, right? So the behemoth that is took another big step toward delivering goods from the air. Yeah, there are a handful of companies that can do that. They're certified by the government to operate as what they call a drone airline. That's what it would be. So the FAA cleared Amazon Prime Air as an air carrier, which means they can begin their first commercial deliveries in the U.S. under a trial program using high-tech devices for that. And meaning that if you're in a seven-mile radius of a warehouse, they could drop off cat food. they use that as an example. I guess not if you had... It was too heavy, I don't know. But there's other things that they can drop off, books, whatever, and toothpaste, that kind of stuff. So it would just clear some of the hurdles. Small packages, that's the idea. It would have to be small packages, nothing giant. And what Prime Air is saying is, okay, we've been testing this, but we're not ready yet. I mean, there's certain autonomous drone delivery areas that they would fly into. Oh boy, can you imagine? You look up in the sky and that's what we see, packages above our heads in our streets. Oh, I don't know. Scary. All right, hang with us. I'm taking you to Philly next to introduce you to a fireman who's written a cool book. Hang with us.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
With a Mech-Tech carbine conversion unit, you can turn an XD Family Glock or 1911 handgun into a carbine rifle in seconds and have it shipped right to your door, no FFL required. Now, Mech-Tech is excited to announce our pistol carbine conversion unit. More compact with a 12-inch barrel and an arm brace, proving once again that Mech-Tech is the world's most versatile handgun accessory. For a limited time, go to handgunconversions.com. That's handgunconversions.com and use coupon code RADIO to receive $35 off any carbine purchase.
you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with John Hunt.
Chief of Staff Mark Meadows has said that he has spoken to Nancy Pelosi, but the Democratic leader refuses to budge and continues to ask for a blank check on coronavirus relief funds.
I had a conversation with Speaker Pelosi, and even on her $2.2 trillion counteroffer, she can't tell the American people nor me what is in that. I can tell you what is in the offer that the president has made. Enhanced unemployment at levels she would agree with. Enhanced help for small businesses at levels she would agree with. And help for schools at levels she would agree with.
On NBC's Meet the Press, Meadows also pointed out that Pelosi and he have had numerous conversations where Pelosi will not even agree to the things the Republicans and Democrats have common ground and would rather the American people have nothing. This is USA Radio News. The Louisiana coastline devastated by Hurricane Laura has started a long and gloomy recovery as hundreds of thousands of people are still without water and power, and they're confronting the possibility that basic service may not return for months. More than 400,000 power outages are reported across the state. The death toll from Laura continues to climb, with 18 deaths now reported. President Trump approved Louisiana Governor John Bel Edwards' request for major disaster declaration, which paves the way for getting aid to hard-hit individuals and communities around that area. President Donald Trump announced that he will travel to Kenosha on Tuesday, the scene of recent protests against police brutality. A recent round of protesting started again this week after 29-year-old Jacob Blake, a black man, was shot 7 times, allegedly by Kenosha police officer Rustin Shesky. The president announced he would head to Kenosha to inspect the damage that has been done following the protest. This is USA Radio News.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American-made with American ingredients, employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
This time around in Author's Corner, I'm taking you back to my neck of the woods, Philadelphia. I grew up a stone's throw away from Philly, and this author has such a great personality, and he has such a flair. He's got such a great style. You'll get lost in his book, and that's the key thing. His name is Michael Green, and his book is called Chicago's Ugliest Badges. Michael, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you very much, Kay, for having me.
Before we get into your book, best place to get a cheesesteak, where is it?
That would be either Jim's or a couple of other places that's out of the way, or you can go to a place up in Germantown in Erie, and it was in the Rocky movie.
Nice.
So you can go there. Yes, it was in the Rocky movie.
Yeah.
Apollo Creed, so yes.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, because the reason I asked you that question is because, you know, when you're from Philly, everybody always says, oh, Geno's or Pat's. I'm like, no, that's just what they showed during the Eagles games. And you said the place I like Jim's. So we got to set people
right.
straight on that. So it's funny, we're talking about
Jim's or Max's.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're talking about Philly, and you wrote a book with Chicago in the title, Chicago's Ugliest Badges. And by trade, you're a fireman, so you certainly have come across a lot of detectives, a lot of police obviously fellow firefighters. Did any of this inspire you to write this novel?
No. What actually inspired me to write this was The Godfather, the movie The Godfather. I always wanted to do something along that premise, and I grew up watching that, and I've seen it so many different times. So it gave me a little hint, a little bit of not just nostalgia because of the mafia theme to it, but the police when he changed his uniform. So with what was going on, I wanted something different, something that would grab you from the door. And it just came on the heels of a book that I wrote around the same time as I wrote Chicago's Ugliest Badges.
Yeah, so I can imagine. You know, there you are at Engine 11, 6th and South, and you're in between writing this novel. Did any of the guys ask you, hey, what are you doing? What are you writing about?
No, this was way before I even transferred there when these books, when they were written. So when I got there, it was basically going through the publication stages. When I came to Engine 11, I still kept it quiet because you never know as an artist what's going to turn out. It's like cooking. There's a commercial where the guy cooks and he thinks he did something good, and then his best friend says, great. And the two women look like, what are you talking about? Because this doesn't taste like anything. Once he tastes it, he's like, oh, and they're shaking their head like, yeah, now you see what we're feeling. You never know what's going to come out until actually you either present it to a few people, which I did. I presented the manuscripts, copies of it, and I asked a couple of friends, I mean, people that I knew that would just tell me the truth to take it home. And they would come back the next day or the day after, oh man, I'm still reading it. What did you write? It's got me. I mean, I can't put it down. So that kind of gave me an inspiration of what I was doing. When you called me and said, you know, I like to have an interview with you, it was more like thrill, like somebody's playing a joke on me, right? But as I made the phone call and I talked to your assistants, then it just became more and more real. And I still ask myself that question, do you have what it takes? And I'm just glad that I was able to give the me that I wanted to give in the book and to the characters something different. And I wanted people to see a totally different reading versus what's really out there.
I like it. So let's talk about it. So tell me about the story and tell the people that are listening about the story. What's it about? Give us what your different, unique spin is.
My storyline is basically about seven Chicago cops who are just crooked. They do their own type of crookedness, but they're mixed in with the mafia. And everybody knows the mafia's inklings and what they do and what they're about. But the mafia's morale is basically family versus family. And these guys in some way, shape or form have connections to the mafia, with the seven guys doing their own thing. Only one of the seven really has a connection because he's the nephew of the capo and the mafia family. This is also intertwined with the fact that it's two best friends, African-Americans, who are lawyers. They go to battle every time out. From the time they entered law school, they've been battling each other for years. When they graduated summa cum laude, they both were tied. So it was like, it should have been me, it should have been you. It's me versus you, and that's what that's about with them. Now you have them going at each other. One's a prosecuting attorney, the other one's a defense attorney, and he's defending these mob guys. You have to read the story before I can tell you eliminations and whatnot, but at the same time, the capo, he has his second in command, and his second in command is older than he is, but he figures this is his time. And you have that intertwined with the fact that he has three nephews. One of the nephews is a police officer, but another nephew is so young, he figures this is my time. I want to be in charge of this family. I don't want to be told what to do. I don't want to be a minion. I want to be the man. And he figures this is his time, and he wants what his Uncle Sonny has. And his Uncle Sonny isn't trying to give up anything. But in the same token, he does things that he's not supposed to do that brings about the family infighting. And not just that, but the fact that money is missing during certain heists, certain takes. And these cops are so good at what they do because they're basically a hit squad, that Sonny's even afraid that, you know what, these guys might be after me. I mean, why not? I'm giving them an opportunity. I'm giving them a chance. Why can't I not think that they might not take over? Because it's just a matter of numbers. And they might have the numbers because they're efficient at what they do. So all that accompanied with he has a sister who's like really crazy and possessed because of the fact that she's never actually told her son, her younger son, that he has an older brother. He assumes that his cousin is his cousin. His cousin's a little slow. He's in the middle. He hangs out with Jack a lot, who's also a nephew of Sonny's. But he came about, that son came about because of something that happened within the family that shouldn't have happened. And Sonny took revenge on that years earlier. And all this comes to light as they're doing, as they're getting rid of Vinny's second in command. Because there's two Vinnies in the story. One Vinny's a cop and the other Vinny is the nephew of Sonny's.
You can never
and
have
enough. There you see it.
Yeah, you can never have enough Vinny's. You can never have enough Vinny's. You are so passionate about this book, and we don't want to give every single detail away because we want people to read your book, Chicago's Ugliest Badges. It will really, really draw you in. Did you have fun doing this?
Yes, I did. The great part was creating the characters. Each character to me was, how would I say, not just significant, but it came to a point where you knew what had to happen. If I'm waking up in the middle of the night to write something down or it kept pounding my brain, I got up and just wrote it because I knew it had to be in the book. Or stop in the middle of if I was working and put it down or write it down. And as soon as I got home, wrote it into the book because I knew it had to be there. There are things that hit you when you're a writer that no matter what it is, the middle of the night, you got to wake up or wherever you're at, you know you got to get it down on paper because it's a key part until you reread it and see how it flows with the story. Then you know what you got or what you have.
Boy, no kidding. Well, I think it's just a terrific book, and I hope everyone listening picks it up because you will get lost in the story. Michael had a great twist throughout the whole thing. There's no question about it. What do you want people to take away from reading your novel to do what we both said, get lost in the story?
Get lost in the story. Also understand that as much as there is, even with today's society, what's going on, as much as there is bad police out there, there's some good cops out there. You know, I'm just letting you look at the fact of the matter of the bad cops because they're everywhere. But hopefully you as a human being, we as human beings don't have to encounter the slime of the earth because some cops hide behind the uniform. And that's why they became cops. Where our good cops, we can't take away from that. When people talk about defunding the police, no, because then what's going to happen? Are we looking at Tombstone before Wyatt Earp took over? So, you know, we have to really look at this the way we need to look at it and keep ourselves. And if we have to make the cops accountable for what they need to be accountable for, okay, that's then. But right now, we need to do what we need to do as human beings and as people to make everything accountable.
Yeah, and you certainly see that as a fireman. You, like I mentioned at the top, I mean, you work with police officers in many of the scenes that you encounter, so you know many, right, in Philly?
Yes, I've seen a few. A couple of friends I grew up with, they're cops, and we interact when we can. It's not like on a regular, but when being on South Street, especially now, you see a lot of cops go through. They want to come and use the bathroom, whatever, and we talk, we speak. And it's a good feeling, but at the same time, I know they have a job. Their job is a lot tougher than mine because people see me only when it's fire. They see them, you know, on a daily basis, and they're already figuring out, okay, what's next? Am I going to get shot? Well, how's this going to go? But everybody has a bad day, and on those bad days, you don't know. But if we just, I would say, if we can just keep ourselves in a light of respect, and not just for the cops, but the cops have to have respect for us, too, because they're only doing the job just like we know that they're doing the job. So allow them to do their jobs. Mm. And if they do their jobs the way they're supposed to, we will be all right. You know, and that's all I can share.
Yeah, absolutely. Pick up the book, Michael Green. Thank you so much. Chicago's Ugliest Badges.
Kate, thank you for having me.
SuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again, now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Attention radio listeners, have you ever wanted to be independent of the utility companies and actually generate your own supply of off-grid electrical power? If so, this is going to be the most important message you'll ever hear. Here's why. A limited number of solar-powered backup generators are back in stock and now available. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving electrical power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, a solar generator runs quietly, emits no fumes, and produces an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. It's like having an electric power plant running silently, secretly, in your own home. Run sump pumps, shortwave radios, computers, even keep food from spoiling. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more. That's MySolarBackup.com. Supplies are still limited and are available on a first-come, first-served basis only. MySolarBackup.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Of course, we're talking about leadership and what is a leader and how do you grow good leaders and why do some leaders, that people that become leaders, really soar and why do others plummet? So somebody who's written a book about that, and hey, she knows. She grew up on a farm. She understood what happened on that farm, took that to other places in her life, and she knows about leading teams. Dr. Bertha Pulliam Carlson has written a book called Effective Leadership Today. Dr. Bertha, we had a great conversation the other day. Thanks for coming on the show.
Yes. And you know, Kate, now I would like to say, I always start off my presentations with, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Because I feel that a leader always has to remember the Ten Commandments. And no matter what you're doing, make sure God is a part of it. So, with that said, I will say that anyone can be a leader. But to be a good leader, you must be able to direct and you must be able to guide in a positive manner. So, you, first of all, you want to be honest. You want to be loyal. You want to be moral. You want to have morals and values. Think about what you're saying. You don't want faith. You want facts. Facts is the key. And most of all, you want integrity. Because I feel that we have, as we look around our society today, we have all kind of leaders. But we're talking about good leaders, effective leaders. We're talking about leaders that can really direct and guide people in the right direction. And when I think of leadership, I think of the pandemic. I think of all the people that died when, if we would have had good, strong leadership, a lot of the people would be here today. So leadership is something you really want to think about. You want to be truthful. You want to always have facts. And I always, as I said, I always touch base with the Lord. And one of my verses is Proverbs 3:5. I trust in the Lord with all my heart, lean not to my own understanding. That's what gets us in trouble. We got to write down the facts versus the false, the non-facts, to make sure when we are given a presentation, we want to make sure that it's clear, it's concise, and that it's factual.
Right, so you say facts, integrity. What about having compassion and empathy and listening? How important is that?
That is extremely empathy. Empathy, you got to crawl all out. Good example. We have a crowd here in Wisconsin, Kenosha. I pray for the families. I pray for our community on both sides. But when you got a crowd wound up like it is right now, you want to be able to use empathy. When I say empathy, I mean you want to call them. You want to have a meeting with them. Listen to them. We have an issue today. We can't listen. We're running. And everybody wants to be right. So we want to calm everyone down. We want to talk to them. We want to allow them to express themselves in a positive way. That is, you want to make sure that it's positive.
Wow, I like what you're saying. Everybody wants to be right, and people are running around, and they're not listening. And you talk specifically to, I'm glad you mentioned Wisconsin, and you see what a powder keg, Dr. Bertha, that's become, and we understand why. How do you solve that? How do you solve what's happened in this country since George Floyd? Because that seemed to be the thing that kind of exploded everything, not that it wasn't happening before.
Exactly. And see, that occurred because of the cameras and all of that. So, as I say, I'm not a person to... Good leaders do not blame people.
Right.
Good leaders show people that we all make mistakes. It's right and wrong no matter where you go. But when you see that that was wrong with George, you see what happened, then what you do is discipline that particular person for that crime or whatever, because you can't go around and expect to treat everyone negative and be destructive. Because you have to always step back and think about it. And yes, it was wrong, but two wrongs don't make a right. So let's do what we can do to inspire, talk to the police and everyone we need to, so this cannot happen to anyone else. And by doing that, you have to train, you have to retrain everybody.
Yeah, so true. We're speaking with Dr. Bertha Pulliam Carlson, and her book is Effective Leadership Today. I mentioned at the top you grew up on a farm. What did you learn on the farm that really led you down the path that you went with teaching, et cetera?
Well, it was teamwork, because you're on the farm, everybody is working, and you got all colors, all types, and once and twice a year we would all get together. But now remember, if there was an issue that someone needed help with, all you had to do was call them, and they were there. They were dependable. So growing up on the farm taught me that you have to listen to people when they're working for you. You have to be kind, even though sometimes they are not always kind. But you always got to be strong and let them know you're listening. You're listening. And you want to find out, how can we resolve it? Not how can I resolve it. What do you think? And so with that said, I realized that it's important to listen to what others have to say. And that's where that empathy comes in. And yep. compassionate.
Yeah, boy, so well said. What do you hope people take away from reading your book, the things that we just talked about, right?
Yes. Well, I hope they take away that they can, too, be a leader. But now remember, to be a leader, you want to be honest.
Right, so that's important.
You got to be honest. You got to be loyal. And although you're always going to need individuals that disagree with you, that's okay. You know what? I don't want everybody thinking quite the way I'm thinking. I want to hear what you have because you can inspire me also. So we can inspire each other if we listen because we need to learn and grow. And that's the only way because communication is one of the concepts that's really missing in our society today. People don't have time to really communicate. But when there's a problem, then they're all running around with limited direction. They don't know where they're going. It's like they're in the wilderness and they're lost.
Boy, that is so true. And that's why they need to pick up your book, Effective Leadership Today. Dr. Bertha, thank you so much.
And thank you. Yes, it's a good book. And I'm sure whoever picks it up will enjoy it. And thank you, Kate.
There you go. Thank you. So it's so interesting because I think what Dr. Bertha was telling us, really, she nailed it. It's so true. People are not communicating. I say this all the time, and I was doing this when I was out there speaking a lot. I would see that people wouldn't even understand what the other person did. They had no clue as to what I call you their wow is. They didn't know their story. And when you don't know somebody else's story and their perspective, you just lose so much, and you put in your mind what you think is happening, but it's not what's really there. If you take the time to explore it, boy, it makes such a big, big difference. And it's all about ultimately, as she said, the integrity and the facts. You know, we talk about facts so much on this show when we're talking about politics and the tug of war. We're talking about things that happen when people are shocked, when somebody falls from grace, and how does that happen, especially when they're in a leadership role. And so often it goes back to integrity and the issues that led up to that. And that's why effective leadership, I think there's no question, the dedication has to be to knowing the team, knowing the people, and making that all cohesive and so much stronger. On that note, thank you so much for listening to this version of the show. Make it count, everybody. As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.